This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have a choice. We can be miserable or be glad. We can trust or mistrust. We can walk in faith or we can walk in flesh. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of John, please? The Gospel of John in chapter 10. John 10 and verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, we are going to hear something from another level of the Spirit on what Jesus was expressing. First of all, please understand that the Word of God is three-dimensional. And in the Word of God, the interpretation is interpreted by the Spirit according to His time and His will. Is everybody with me? So what God may be saying through His Word may be past, may be present, or may be future. So in this, one of the things that the Word tells us is that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And that's where we want to always stay, in the deep things of God. There's an area of level of the Word of God, then there's another area of level of the deeper things of God through His Word. And in this, Jesus was not only expressing that He was the door to the sheep, because He is the pastor to His sheep, He is the shepherd to His sheep. But Jesus was also expressing the door to a timeless realm. He is the door to a timeless realm. And it can only be entered by Him. And what He was saying here is what was lost will be saved. In other words, He says, you walk in, right? You go in and out of this timeless realm. Now, there are two time realms that we've talked about before. So if Jesus is the door to the timeless realm, and you can only enter by Him, and only entering by Him, what was lost, are you listening, can be caught or saved. In other words, only He can bridge the gap of time. Only He can begin to bridge the gap of time. So in this, we see that the Word says we're going in and coming out of the pasture. In other words, we're going in and out of the timelines of the physical and the spiritual. There are two timelines. There's a spiritual timeline and a physical timeline. The Word tells us that the thief will attempt to interrupt your timeline of God and cause a gap of time. Is everybody with me? So the thief wants to interrupt the timeline of God in your life, and it causes a gap of time. When God interrupts your physical time, it is to cause training for reigning. And we've talked about this already. But when the enemy interrupts your God's timeline in your life, it causes a gap of time. And only the Lord can build the bridge, are you listening, of that gap of time. God attempts to bridge the gap of time that the devil's interrupted to restore the abundant life that is predestined for us. So God is the only one that is bridging the gap of time. Go to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. Bridging the gap of time. In Mark chapter 10, verse 23, remember, God is attempting to bridge the gap of time that the devil has interrupted to restore to us that abundant life. In verse 23, would you read it with me? Then Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know, have you ever gone through something in your life that something was lost, destroyed, messed up? And sometimes we think, my God, how is this going to work out? You know, because our carnal mind always has an arena of, this is impossible. But the mind of the Spirit says, this is incredible. This is an opportunity. Yeah. So God loves to express himself in the areas. And he loves to bring that place. He's the one that bridges the gap of time for me and you. But there's something we must do is cooperate with him. And verse 28 says, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Now this is powerful. This is cooperation, isn't it? He said, we have left all to follow you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels who shall not receive a what? Hundredfold now in what time? This time. See, he was separating the time. Now we'll receive a hundredfold in this time, in the physical time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Then he expresses the spiritual time. So what are you saying? Relying on the physical time of riches instead of the spiritual time of God's riches. It will cause an interruption. This is what the enemy loves to do. He loves to interrupt God's time. And when he does that and we allow him to, it causes a gap in time. Then you and I have to do things to cooperate with God. Well, people say, catch up. Catch up. But only God can catch it up. Only God can bridge that gap of time, not us. But there's something we must do is cooperate with God. And that's what he said. Who among you who will not give up everything will I not in this time give you a hundredfold? It takes cooperation with God to bridge the gap of time that Satan has interrupted. Jesus will restore in this timeline of physical as well as spiritual timeline. Is everybody with me? Ephesians 3, bridging the gap of time. And verse 3:20. Let's read this together. Come on, everybody, confess this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, what is he saying? He says, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. That power in us is to cooperate. Has everybody got it? In other words, you've given the power to cooperate with God. Why? So we can do far above all you could ever ask or think. What's he doing? He's going to bridge the gap of time. He's going to do what? Bridge the gap of time. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6. 9:6. Let's read this together. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Now this is powerful because he's talking about the law of sowing and reaping again. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to bridge the gap, isn't he? You know, the word tells us that he who sows in the spirit reaps life, and he who sows in the flesh reaps corruption. So if we've been one that the enemy has interrupted in our life, in God's timeline, in God's will, in that interruption, we are now sowing in the flesh. And it means we will reap corruption. And that continues to keep that gap expanding, expanding, expanding until we repent and turn. When we turn from the enemy and turn back to the Lord, and we begin to sow in the Spirit, then God begins to bridge the gap of time. He begins to shorten it till it's finally diminished and you're back in God's timeline. Is everybody okay? And it is important. Why? Because he's talking about here, listen, he wants us to be abundant, doesn't he? So the power in us, he's already given us the power to cooperate. That's all we have to do is say, yes, Lord. That's all you have to do is say, yes, Lord. And in this abundance for every good work will be supplied. Many lack because of the interruption of the enemy. Many people, the reason why there is lack is because we're allowing the enemy to interrupt. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Start at verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instructions. Hello? Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Why are the instructions given? To keep, the Bible says, make no place for the devil. When there's place for the devil, it begins to interrupt God's timeline, doesn't it? But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on what? Violence or corruption. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Did you ever give around somebody that just don't shut up? They're still trying to prove themselves and convince themselves they're okay when they're way out of God's line. Verse 4. The soul of a lazy man. Hello? The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Speaks great swelling words. Has a lot of dreams, but can get nowhere. But the soul of the diligent shall be what? Made rich. So one of the things that the enemy always wants to do is interrupt in the guideline, God's timeline, with laziness, compromise, complacency, reasoning, and justification. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Remember, laziness is an interruption of the enemy. Is everybody okay? Laziness is what? An interruption of the enemy. Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1. Let's read it. The Lord is my what? The Lord is my what? My shepherd. I shall not want. That word want means I shall not lack. I shall not what? Lack. Now look at this is what he does. Here's cooperation. If the Lord is truly your shepherd, that means he's Lord over your life. That means you're willing. That means you don't have a life. But what about the new life? No. Amen. No. No, 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 no. Just because God gives you a new life, it's not your life. It's his. Has everybody got it? So many people are fighting for their new life when they should be fighting for the presence of God that maintains life. See, the minute somebody gets free, cleaned, and everything else, we talked about this yesterday. It was powerful. As soon as you get a brand new life, it's like, wow, I got a new life. This is great. There's a lot of things I want to do now. Look at all the new things I can do with this life. Now that I'm clean, I'm sober, I'm free. I've been bound by demons, and now I'm free. I'm walking in the Spirit. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I want to do everything for you. Praise God. But he says, not in your strength, not in your time, mine. Now give me that life that I just gave you. No, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. I want this. Are you kidding me? I'm not giving this life up for nothing. Then you will lose it. But I got a new life. It's not your life. It's his life, not yours. It's amazing. It's a deception of the devil. That's why people go astray. That's why they backslide. That's where they go in the woe is me syndrome, the baby Huey syndrome, and every other I syndrome that there is. Because they're still fighting for their life when you and I don't have one. If Jesus is your Lord, you don't have a life. You've given your life. It's amazing. Have you given your life to Jesus? Yes. Then why are you fighting for it back? But he gave me a new life. No, he gave you his life. Not your life. He gave you his life. His life dwells in you, and he wants to run his life through you. Stop interfering with his life. Is everybody okay? Let that seep in all the way to your toes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Why am I lacking? Because you're allowing interruptions and you're still fighting for your life. But it's a new life, but it's not your life. It's his. You're to fight for the presence of God that maintains life. You are not to fight for the life. Has everybody got it? Man, that's what causes fear and all kinds of garbage. It opens the door to the devil. And then people are wondering, man, I'm doing everything I can. I don't get it. Because you're still fighting. You know why people get offended? Because they're fighting for their life. And I'm not talking about their old life. I'm talking about their new life. Quit fighting for your new life. It isn't yours. It's his life. That dwells in you. We are life carriers of the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. We are eternal life carriers. We're not carrying our life. We are carrying his life. He just chooses to share it with us. But it takes cooperation, doesn't it? Why? Because he's trying to bridge that gap of time. It's when we begin to fight for our life that we allow interruptions by the enemy of God's timeline in our life. Offense is the number one thing. People get offended so easy. It's because they're fighting for their life. What does pride do? It protects self. What does fear do? It protects pride. What does anger do? It protects fear. All of these areas is protecting, even though it's a new life. Oh, I need to protect this new life. No, you don't. You need to fight for the presence of God. That causes you to dwell in the secret place of the Most High where no evil will befall you. Then the Lord becomes your shepherd and you won't lack nothing. You won't fight for what you want. Hello? Because in his presence, everything is available. What can God do? And now listen. What can God do? Is there anything impossible with him? No, we already said that. All things are possible to those who believe. That word believe means follow. So then let's go back. What can you do that God can't? Oh. Hello. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Here's something that he does because of cooperation. You know what he does? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, the pastures is the place to eat. Still waters is a place to drink. He restores. Oh, glory! He restores my soul. Why? Because he has bridged the gap of time because of my cooperation with him. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Not for me. For his name's sake. So why? So he can be hallowed in me and it can be expressed through others. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm not fighting for my life anymore, nor the new life. I'm fighting for the presence of God, and no evil shall befall me, because I'm in the secret place. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Glory, I love this. You know why? Because his life in you is going to kick butt on the enemy. He's going to work through you to bring down Satan's kingdom. It's when we try to bring it down in our own strength, in our own willpower, in our own soul power, in our own understanding and own desires, that we don't last, because we're not fighting according to his will. And his will, it is his time. It says this, okay, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Everything is at the table. Now, so what he's saying is everything is in the anointing. Everything is in the anointing. And we're going to talk about that more later. In fact, that's what I wanted to preach on today. But he said no. So he brought me back and said, I want to teach on bridging the gap of time. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Doesn't it follow the Lord? Amen. All the days of my life. What life? This new life, but it's his life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory. Only the Lord can bridge the gap that has been interrupted. Only the Lord can. Is everybody okay? But we must cooperate with him and allow it to happen so that you can have the abundant life. And that abundant life isn't for you. It's for him. In other words, he is providing access of everything for him in this time realm, so that you can share it with him and he can express himself through you. This is for his namesake. Is everybody okay? Okay, man. James 1. In other words, God is trying to get the stuff, his stuff, to him. Is everybody okay? In other words, he's trying to get everything to him so he can use it through you. That's why the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit, they're not the gifts of me and you. They're his gifts. They're in. Why? Because he's in us. It's his gifts. He's just trying to use them through us. Because he's got to operate in the spirit realm, but manifest and function in the natural realm. So he's going to get these things that are his already. That's why we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, because he is. But we have a tendency to always look at I. Ay, 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 ay. And what we and I and we and I and me and me. And everything else associated with me, myself, and I, when we're not looking at him. So things are happening. Oh, I'm being persecuted. No, he is. But he's overcome the world. So just get out of the way and shut up. But you don't know my circumstance. But he does. He lives in you. He's seeing it all. So just get out of the way and shut up. And let the anointing of Christ flow through you, because you're no longer to fight for your life. You're to fight for the presence of God. Why? Because the presence of God brings everything to him so he can use it through you. Hello? Good. Let's go a little further. James 1. Are you getting this? James chapter 1. You know, sometimes I just sense that God is just trying to say, will you get out of my way? I love you. I paid the price for you. Come on. I'll take you. I'll take you. Just let me take you. Just get out of my way so I can get the things that I need to operate in this realm. And quit trying to tell me how I ought to operate in this realm. Oh, glory. James 1:2. Would you all read it to me? Read it with me, please. You can read it to me, too, if you'd like. Praise God, I'll listen. We'll listen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials. Oh, hallelujah. Now, did not the Lord lead the Lord into the wilderness? For what? To be tempted by the devil. Hello? Come on, think about it. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. God Almighty led himself to go be tempted by the devil so he can kick his butt, so he can accomplish the temptations of the enemy and overcome so it can be transferred to me and you. So everybody got it. So if he was sent in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, the whole world is the wilderness. Come on. We're living in the wilderness. You need to have the Spirit of Christ in you. And you're going to be tempted every single day. From the moment you get up, the devil stayed inside the end of your bed saying, here's the list you need to do today. What's he trying to do? Interrupt God's timeline. By trying to keep you busy for doing your stuff instead of God's things. And then we become a donkey. Hello? But the thing is, the Lord is not carrying us. We begin to carry him. In other words, come on with me, Lord. I'll show you what's happening. And he says, okay, show me. Go ahead, show me. And we do all this stuff. What do you think? Show me. Well, what about this? Show me. And then it burns. It doesn't last. Oh, but Lord, you told me. I know I heard your voice to tell me this. No, I didn't. I just said, show me. I didn't tell you to do that. You told me you were going to do that. Believe me, I get counsel. People come into counsel all the time. Pastor, I need counsel. Great. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Okay. I don't say nothing. I just agree. Go ahead. Thank you for the counsel. I didn't say a word. Go for it. And they go out and they fall and they mess up. Well, I got counsel from the pastor. No, you didn't. You came and told me what you were going to do. You didn't come in and ask. You came in and told me what you were going to do. And you did exactly what you were going to do. And the end result was disastrous. You know why? Because the individuals begin to fight for their life again. And when you do, it allows the enemy to come in and bring in an interruption. And it interrupts God's timeline, because God's time is God's will. And God's will is God's time. Is everybody okay? So my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete in what? Lacking nothing. So you are going to go into trials. But understand that the Lord is there to bring us out with cooperation with him. You know, I used to fly search and rescue and jump out of helicopters. And when a pilot was down, we'd go to the pilot if he had to eject from his plane. Or if a boat sank and people, and they'd be in this raft. And I'd swim up to the raft and I'd pull out this blade. And I'd punch the raft and slice it, and the raft would sink underwater. And people would go, freak out. What's the matter with you? Come on, this is what's holding me up. And the reason why I did that is because when the helicopter came over to pick us up, I didn't want that raft to go up into the rotors. So I'd have to sink it. And when the pilot would see that the raft was sunk, then he would come and get us. But so many times people begin to panic. And that's when I'd like to have a mini baseball bat. Bam! then just turn around and grab them and wait for the pilot, for the... But they would panic. Especially if they couldn't swim. They'd be hanging on you for dear life. So when they would hang on me, you know what I would do? Go underwater. And they'd let go. And then I'd sneak up behind them and put them in the hold that they couldn't get out of. Yeah, lock position. And when I got them in lock position, they stayed there until that pilot came and we got hooked up and took off. But in that, so many times we begin to panic. You know, when somebody steps in quicksand, if you're still, you'll last longer. Once you begin to move and try and get yourself out, because you're getting yourself out in the flesh, you're trying to do your work instead of waiting on God, we begin to sink. Is everybody okay? See, that's why the word says, he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. But we have this tendency that when we get a new life, we're not looking at that anymore. We may quote that scripture, but we're ignoring that he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And we try to overcome with the new life instead of the life giver. Let's go a little further. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith. Faith. With no what? Doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Whoa. So doubt prevents the move of God's timing. It is an interruption of the enemy. Doubt is an interruption from the enemy. Unbelief is an interruption from the enemy. Titus chapter 1. And these are things that God has to bridge again. So everybody understand. He's, you know, wouldn't you rather have God moving on your behalf instead of always having to bridge your time, bridge your life? There are more people in recovery. They spend more time in recovering than they do in flowing. They spend more time in recovery because of the things that, because God says, my people are destroyed in lack of knowledge. Because they don't know how to fight. They're not first strikers. Listen, you can't get up every morning and just go, oh, good morning, Lord. I need gas today. I need this today. You must attack the enemy. Don't go start your morning with, Lord, I need. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, you shall not lack. He knows what you need already. He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. He's going to provide for you. He's trying to get you life and life abundantly. But whatever the areas are open doors in your life, and you know it, shut it. And quit blaming everybody else for why the way you are. Well, I only drink on weekends. Well, hello. Well, you know, I've been smoking for 30 years and it's really difficult to quit. It's a demon. Well, I go to church once a week and I throw my quarter in there. That's nice. See, without God's presence, you and I are nothing. Everything comes to him in his presence. If you're preventing the presence of God to come, you're hindering with the provisions to him. Come on, think about it. And it causes an interruption in the timeline of God in your life. And then he has to kick us in the butt, work all kinds of other things to get us back so he can bridge the gap of the timeline. And so many people are more involved in bridging the gap of timeline instead of walking in God's time. But he's the only one that can bridge it. Why not let him do it once, and that's that? Instead of going around in these circles, in these cycles. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. Oh, that's wonderful. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. If a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop or one that oversees must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, drugs, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, this is powerful, because there's no way you and I can do this. Hello? The only way it can be done is the Christ in you. But you and I can't physically do this, can we? So Titus was left to set things in divine order. So there is no lack caused by interruptions of darkness. Choosing those that are steadfast and can't be moved to maintain the move of God's timing. See, God is looking for these individuals that are willing to cooperate, and this is the fruit of it. See, if things are not in divine order, it will cause an interruption. See, one of the things the devil always wants to do is get things out of divine order. And by getting things out of divine order will cause that interruption or that gap of God's timeline. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 14. It started 13, I like that. It started 12. That's even better. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes! Everybody say yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now listen, to live, it didn't say live somewhere, it said live in. That means you're abiding in. Was Jesus persecuted? Well, so are they still trying to persecute him? So if he's in you, are they going to persecute you? Well, hello. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is that happening right now? Oh my goodness. It's climaxing. And it's getting worse and worse and worse from the president down. Verse 14. But you must what? Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All glory. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we are to continue in the things that we've learned. An unlearned person will easily be interrupted by evil, influenced by lust and fear. Influenced by lust and fear. I have seen many individuals' lives be interrupted by the opposite sex, who started off right, and to please the opposite sex, went their way instead of God's way, and it was an interruption of the enemy in their life, and some people have still never recovered from it. Fear is also an interruption of the enemy. It's an interruption. The devil loves to bring fear, but the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. But fear is always associated with saving your life. Come on. Fear is used to protect yourself or promote yourself. See, if we stay in the area that we're not fighting for our life anymore, we're fighting for the presence of God to maintain His life in us, where all provisions are brought by His presence to Him to be used through us. Does God want to prosper you? Doesn't the devil want to come and steal, kill, and destroy? How many times have we seen that happen in our life? And then the Lord has to bridge that gap, doesn't He? And there's that process of bridging that gap where it's a time. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But He is faithful to complete what He started as long as you continue to cooperate. Go to Philippians 4. Bridging the gap of time. Verse 4. Philippians 4:4. And let's read this together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Wait, this is powerful now. The Lord is where? Where is He? He's in you. Did you ever come up to somebody that said they were a believer? And they offered you a cigarette and started cussing? And you're wondering, where is the Lord? I mean, that is different. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. In other words, He wants to express Himself through you. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I say again, be anxious for nothing. And let people know that the Lord's hand is with you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiousness. You're either going to carry anxiousness or the God of peace. See, anxiousness is an interruption of the enemy. Anxiousness is an interruption of the enemy. It's trying to push you. So many times people don't even realize that the devil comes with a gentle push. That's all you need to hear is, I gotta do. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're in a house and it's on fire, you got to do something. You're not going to wait for an answer from God. I hope. Because you'll probably get it face to face then. And you might say, what are you doing here? So, you know, you have to use godly common sense. But you do not want to, if the enemy comes and gives you these gentle pushes, those are fears. Anxiousness is fear. And so many times people are afraid. I get people telling me this. Well, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? I'm afraid I'm going to lose the opposite sex. If I don't marry this person, no, I'm going to lose them. You're going to lose them anyways. Because if it's not God's will, it ain't going to go forth. Anxious. Oh, I got to get there, man. If I don't do this, I'll never have a job. See, there are good deals and God deals. Good deals burn up, God deals last. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiousness is always an interruption of the enemy. Begin to, same thing with fighting. In other words, people are still fighting for that new life. Now that I smell good and I'm clean and I can, yes, I got this new life and I want to do all kinds of things for God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The devil loves to push you. He knows what's what. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He's going to push you. Come on, you need to do this or you'll miss God. Let me tell you something. If God wants me to have something, He's going to get it to me. If I'm cooperating with Him, I'm not going to miss it. But see, the enemy will try to come and tell you you're going to miss God to move you out of God's timing so you do miss Him. That's called anxiousness. And associated with that is fear. We want God's peace so that we begin to fight for the presence of God instead of the new life. Because if you fight for the new life, you'll have anxiousness. And only the presence of God is going to keep the new life, which is His life in us. Judges 13. Is everybody okay? Bridging the gap of time. Let's go to the book of Judges. And chapter 13. Wonderful example. Judges 13. Verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, the devil interrupted. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So God allowed them to go into captivity. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites whose name was Moana, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So God was bringing forth someone to deliver Israel because of their evil ways who brought them into captivity. God was going to come and bridge the gap of time. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Now let's go to chapter 14. In verse 1. "Now Samson," was his name, "went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife.'" Now of course, their tradition was not to marry a Philistine. So it would seem like that he was out of divine order. But he was in order. Is everybody with me? Now watch this. "Then his father and mother said to him, 'If there is no woman, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, or among all the people that you might go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.' But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." So this was God's timeline. It was God's will for him to marry the Philistine. Is everybody with me? But according to tradition, it just didn't seem right. Now go to chapter 16. Of course, Samson married her, and then she ended up dying. And so forth, something. And then he did something bad. Verse 1. Is everybody there? 16:1. "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her." Now that was not God's will. Because the Philistine, he married her. This one he did not. And when Gazaites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place, lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gate posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, the luscious Delilah. Hallelujah. Who was a harlot. Harlot Delilah. Hello. Go to verse 16. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor shall ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength shall leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." In other words, the anointing will lift from him. When Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. In other words, they paid her. So Samson was betrayed with cash, just like Jesus was. Then she lured him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Nice. And his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at the other times, shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. So the end result was they poked out his eyes, didn't he? But he was already blinded from the beginning by lust. See, he allowed the devil to interrupt God's timeline. And it took him out of God's timeline all the way to the end. So the Israelites were still in bondage after the 40 years. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Verse 23. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy." And that's what happened. Why? Because Samson allowed the interruption of the enemy, and he was delivered into the hands of the enemy. And his eyes were poked out, he had lost his strength, and he became a servant to Satan and grinding the wheel. "The destroyer of our land, the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called him to entertain them. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. And the temple will fall on men and women." All the lords of the Philistine were there, about 3,000 men and women, on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray." In other words, redeem me. Lord, please, breach the gap of time. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and one on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. So did God catch it up and do more? Amen. Did he breach the gap of time? Yes. Did he do that with Job when he lost everything? Amen. Can he do it with you? It just takes cooperation, doesn't it? That's all it takes, is cooperation. Go to Psalm 40. In verse 1, let's read it together. I waited what? Patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. What did he do? He breached the what? Gap of time. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. You are in the scroll. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness and the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Oh, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord, and let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. Oh, that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. And let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. Oh, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad. Let such as love your salvation say continuing, the Lord be magnified. Everybody say, the Lord be magnified. Believe me, he will bridge the gap of time in your life if you let him. It takes cooperation. Takes what? Cooperation. Don't be deceived like Samson was. Don't let anxiousness push you. Stay in position. Stay filled. Stay ready. And stay away from yourself. Bad company corrupts good habits. So stay away from yourself, man. And stop fighting for your life because you don't have one. You're fighting for the presence of God that maintains his life that you carry. Amen? And to God be the glory. And Father, we just commit to you our spirit, soul, and body and life. And we thank you, Master. We thank you we don't have to fight for this life, but we fight for your presence that maintains. And let your presence provide for your life because we share your life. Thank you. Bless your people far above all they could ever ask or think. Let the abundant life be expressed through you in them. And Lord, shut the door to the enemy in all of our lives. And grant us those eyes to see those ears to hear, and a heart that is surrendered to your life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.